Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and angels and saints, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. You know it is a very, very busy month, not just here on G's Power Hour, just in general. First of all, going to remind you, please go vote. Go vote after the show, but go vote, okay? Whether you got to complete your ballot, and I hope you did your homework like I asked you to, or you have to go on location somewhere, no excuses. Like I said, even on the day of, Lime is going to help provide a little bit of scooter transportation to get you to the polls. So please go vote. The other thing is keep in mind that it is National Bullying Awareness Month. It is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Let me encourage you, by the way, with Breast Cancer Awareness Month, sponsor somebody, please, that might not be able to afford the mammogram or, you know, any thing in terms of being able to get examined, whether it's a mammogram or maybe they've gotten a mammogram and they need to get further testing done, please remind them to go and please help them go get it, whether it's transportation, maybe it's loaning them a few bucks, whatever. There are a lot of places out there, and I'll try to, you know, grab some information and post it on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. But help them out because we want to make sure everybody gets checked. The other thing that's going on also, you know, we're preparing for, we're still in the midst of hurricane season. You know, so just make sure you're prepared just in case. It does not end until the end of November. So if you don't have, you know, you're together, you know, backup batteries, whatever, candles, whatever you need, get them. Just want to make sure you do that. But the other thing that's going on this month is it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And before we go any further, I want to give out this phone number. Please take this down. 407-886-2856. That's 407-886-2856. This number is the 24-hour confidential crisis hotline for Harbor House of Central Florida. Harbor House of Central Florida is the domestic violence shelter here in Central Florida. And we're going to have on the CEO from Harbor House, Michelle Spurzel, who's going to be on with this morning to talk a little bit about what's going on with Harbor House and what we're facing in terms of domestic violence. So we're looking forward to hearing from her. If you know of someone who is suffering from domestic violence, or if you're suffering in silence, because we know there's people out there that are suffering in silence and they're too embarrassed, they don't want anybody to know. You don't have to tell anybody. You just have to call this number. You don't have to tell your family and friends if you don't want them to know. And then also, too, listen to last Thursday's show. We have Burton Kelso, who's our Tech Thursday guy on the third Thursday of the month. We talked about domestic violence. He had some tips in terms of things that you might want to look at technology-wise in terms of preventing occurrences of this domestic violence and also protecting yourself from domestic violence. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. But in the meantime, we're going to take a quick break, And the number, if you have questions, is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Over the past 60 years, Dove Beauty Bar's superior formula has remained unchanged. But when it comes to beauty, everything changed. Together, we redefined beauty. We said no to stereotypes and yes to every type. We let go of judgments and embraced what makes us unique. We're proud to have been there with you, caring for you every step of the way. Here's to the next 60 years.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison. You may know me as Timmy G. Yeah, I know. It's been 2 decades, but I want you to know I'm back in the yard with you. And I've got a mix of music that can help you relax and chill out. It's smooth. It's relaxing. It's chill out jazz. The soulful mix of smooth jazz, soul, and smooth R&B. So join me every Wednesday night, 10 p.m. to midnight on K-Ham Radio.
Are you chilling?
Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour. I never had it so good in us today. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we want to make sure that you have the number to call if you or someone you know is dealing with a situation and you need some help. The 24-hour confidential crisis hotline is 407-886-2856, and that is the line for Harbor House of Central Florida. Michelle Spurzel, the CEO of Harbor House, is on. Good morning, Michelle. How are you?
I'm good. Good morning. Thank you for having me here today.
Thank you for joining us today. Really appreciate it. So tell me about yourself and your work with Harbor House and what's going on. I know things are a little bit different this year.
Things are a lot different this year. So, and thank you for giving us our crisis line. One of the things that's different is that now when someone calls that number, they can call or they can text it, and that's because of COVID. So that's really changed the lives of everybody here in the United States and worldwide. And when we're talking about survivors of domestic violence, we've seen a big increase in the number of people who are now staying with their abusers because they are too scared to be able to leave, to go into an emergency shelter. We've also seen a lot of people who are reaching out to file injunctions for protection in order to get the abuser out of the house. So we've been busy in helping people throughout this entire year, and we haven't closed once. And I'm happy to say that we haven't had any known cases of COVID in the emergency shelter because of all the safety precautions we've put in place. So it is safe for people to come in. And that's a big thing that I really want everybody to know, that if you're experiencing domestic violence, we're here for you. And please, please call us and come in if you need help.
Because I want people to understand that, you know, if that may be in a situation or may know somebody in a situation, there are some situations where you're one risk is just kind of worth taking more so than the other, you know. And, you know, I know just based on your reputation of Harbor House that you all have done everything that you all can within your power to make sure that the facility is as clean and safe and welcoming for people who are suffering through such a situation. So have the numbers changed? Can you talk about what we're seeing in terms of domestic violence increases, decreases, changes, maybe more men or I don't know. Tell me.
So I would say from a logistics standpoint, because of COVID-19, we've actually reduced the number of beds that we have available in our emergency shelter. So we're normally a 120-bed shelter, and we've reduced it to 60 beds. We've been averaging right around 40 to 50 people who are staying with us at any given time. And that was really so that we could use social distancing within the emergency shelter. And what we found is that with everything happening with COVID, that number has been okay because more people want to stay at home because they're too scared to come into group living because they don't want to contract COVID-19. So we've seen that, but the other piece along with that would be we've had survivors who literally have told us that they felt safer in our emergency shelter than they even felt going to the grocery store. I never thought that we'd be operating a school, but we opened up a virtual school where we have child advocates and we have assistants who are helping kids who are doing the virtual school option. We did that in the spring, and we did it again when fall started. And so kids are staying on campus longer. And so because of that, we've really increased the type of children's programming that we have on campus. And we've also had a lot of animals come in when someone's coming into emergency shelter. So those are some of the increases and the changes that we're seeing organically with the programming, our shelter program. What we've really seen would be our numbers as far as our hotline calls and people are seeking out, texting an advocate, our messaging on Facebook, that has remained consistent. We haven't seen a dip in it, nor have we seen a huge increase. But what we've seen is the conversations have changed. So it might be someone who's reaching out for the first time, trying to identify if the situation that they're in is domestic violence, really calling us saying, my partner is not has lost a job or they're furloughed and money is getting really tight and I'm scared. I'm not really necessarily sure what I can do. I know I can't afford to leave. What are some of my options? We're getting phone calls like that. We're getting a lot of people who are calling for additional community resources with assistance with rent, utilities, and we're able to refer them to other community organizations that offer that assistance. And then we're having people who are calling with us to do safety planning so that when they are ready to leave, and this has been a big one, is that I can't leave right now because my partner is around me 24/7, but when he or she goes back to work, I want to go. So how can you help me with that? So those are the different types of conversations we're having, whereas before the conversations were a lot more, and I'm in danger, I need help right now. We're having people call us more with the idea of planning. As far as in the community, what we're really seeing is that Harbor House is definitely, and we've always been more than just a shelter. That's a huge program that we have and we offer in a big need because when someone needs to leave, they need to go. And we want to make sure that we can keep them safe and keep their kids safe and keep their pets safe. But there are a lot of people who are still living with their abusers or they've been able to scrape enough money together to be able to get a place on their own or move in with a friend or a family member. And we help a lot of people every year with our outreach program. And we help right around 4,000 individuals every year. That's pre-COVID. And what we're seeing is we're seeing larger numbers in that program specifically, people who are calling in for peer support, people who are doing virtual support groups. And we're also seeing a lot more people who are reaching out to our legal program because the courthouse never closed when it came to filing injunctions for protection. And then also now because of COVID, you know, we're doing more with virtual. And so our legal team, we have attorneys that will help represent or give legal advice when it comes to domestic violence. That team has been incredibly, incredibly busy. When I talk about incredibly busy, we're seeing almost now a 30% increase in the number of people that we've helped year over year with that program, and specifically really an increase starting in February to date. And a lot of that is really people seeking out legal advice in order to file the injunction and get it granted so then they can get the abuser out of the home. And because our attorney program is busy, we walk hand in hand with that program with some of our legal advocates. And so our legal advocates are they're amazing because they will help safety plan. They'll get someone in charge of it, get them in touch with other community resources. They'll refer them to a mental health therapist if that's something else that they're looking for. So we're seeing a huge increase in that program specifically. And because of that, the community has been amazing in really helping us build our outreach program. And we're seeing a lot of our survivors struggling, like a lot of our, you know, our friends and family members in Central Florida struggling with food insecurity. And so we've been able to start doing additional programs for our outreach survivors, which once a month now we do a food program where our survivors can come in, they pick up food boxes, toiletry, different things, cleaning supplies, things that they need for their home. We touch base with their advocates. We see how they're doing as far as the safety perspective is concerned, and we're able to help them out with some economic resources as well. So those are some of the changes that we're seeing and also how we're developing programs that we didn't have before to really help meet the need for domestic violence victims and survivors in our community. And it's we couldn't do it without the huge community support of some of our partners and then also individual donors. And we're so grateful to be in Central Florida, especially with everything that's happening with layoffs and furloughs and now just full-on terminations of different people because of our tourism industry changing. And I'll be really honest, I would say that as we see our economy change, and if it continues on a downward swing here in Central Florida, then we're going to definitely see domestic violence go up, because one of the number one reasons why someone stays in a domestic violence situation is they can't afford to leave. And as more resources are dwindling within a household, then the domestic violence will definitely increase.
Oh, that's unfortunate. However, one of the, if you could say there's an upside to this, is one of the things I'm hearing from you is that planning is more planning is taking place, both on the side of the victim as well as the side that provides the resources. So there's more of a solidification of a game plan for the people that may come down the road later that has an issue. Certain things have been put in place, such as, you know, community advocates coming together to help Harbor House, and the victim having to say, okay, I can't leave now. This is what I have to do just to get through and get to the next step, and this is what I need to do so that when the time comes, I'm out of here, and there's no question, there's no delays. The plan is in place.
Absolutely. And when you plan, planning gives you hope. It gives you something to look forward to. And some of the survivors that recently have talked to that came in during this really, you know, for lack of a better word, like really crazy time within our United States and here in Central Florida with COVID, they just said that they knew that they had a plan. I mean, this is sometimes when, you know, a job might have been your escape from a domestic violence situation, or your abuser came home and you jumped in the car and you would just drive around aimlessly, not sure what to do. And now we have people who are driving around with their kids in the car, talking to us on the phone, trying to figure out what the plan is. And some of those same women who have done that have then implemented their plan when they saw the abuse getting really bad. And they just said, I have a plan now. I know what to do. Whereas I was paralyzed before because I didn't know how to get out of this. And so planning is definitely a hope. And then also realizing that it's okay to tell people what's happening so that they can be part of your plan. And that's another thing that we're seeing a lot of, is we're seeing a lot of people coming together. And we started a friends and family support group, because a lot of, if you are friends with someone who's experiencing domestic violence and you don't know how to help, it's good to learn about domestic violence and how you can help someone who's in that situation without getting hurt yourself. And so that's the other piece, is that we've seen more people reaching out for help for services. We're also seeing how we can help some of those friends and family members and employers who are helping the people that they care about.
Wow. So, you know, I know you were saying, unfortunately, you're having to decrease the numbers of that you can accommodate. Do you foresee down the road that you're having to maybe enlarge your facility or establish an additional facility to support the victims of this crime?
I would have to say right now housing is absolutely an issue in Central Florida. And so I would love for Harbor House to be able to add on probably small one-bedroom apartment homes onto our campus and really start a longer transitional housing program. I'd love for us to be able to do that. We have a very small program started, and it's remained full during COVID, and that's a huge need. And the difference between our emergency shelter and transitional housing is this. It's very, very easy. Emergency shelter is just that. It is immediate needs, 12 weeks, 3 months for you to get safe. Transitional housing is a year program. And so when you are able to help someone with wraparound services and therapy services and peer support, groups, economic support, economic security programming, teaching and sharing and empowering someone to understand their finances, the kids getting stable for a year, that's when we see huge change. And so that's what I would love for us to be able to do someday in the future. Of course, sooner is always better than later, but that's where I see the greatest need. I would say with our emergency shelter, as there's a vaccine, as we see that we're able to, if we need to bring more people in, then we're going to do what we need to do within the emergency shelter to keep people socially distanced and increase that 60 to 70 and 80 if we need to, because the need is increasing. But if I was to say where I want and where I see the future of domestic violence and providing services, it would be to offer more long-term solutions, not just emergency shelter.
In the past, what has been the, I guess you could say, average stay of someone that is that you first take in, and what happens
depends.
To them usually?
Yeah. Great question. So, I mean, everybody's journey when it comes to domestic violence is different, and especially if you're coming in and you're seeking shelter and you're seeking shelter with your kids or you're seeking shelter with your pets. So someone who would be coming in and seeking shelter with their kids and their pets, we tend to have them stay at our emergency shelter longer because it's harder for them to find housing options for both their kids and their pets altogether. And so we know that if we have someone coming in that we're going to be with us 12 weeks, sometimes if we have to do extensions, it's going to be longer. The average stay that we have for someone who's coming in with just single or coming in with their kids, and that would be a single man, single woman, or mom with kids or dad with kids, that's really on average around 8 to 12 weeks for the emergency shelter. And we're working with those individuals from the minute they show up and helping them come up whatever their case management plan is going to be. And for lack of a better term, it's more or less, what is it that you need in this short amount of time? What resources do you need access to? Do you have friends and families that it's safe for you to stay with? Do you have a house that you want to go back to without the abuser being there? Do you want to go back to the house with the abuser in it? And that's a reality that a lot of survivors talk through and we safety plan with, knowing that it's not ideal, but if they feel that it's safe and that that's going to be the best financial option for them, that's something we plan for as well, knowing that that person can always come back into the emergency shelter. So it all just depends on that individual and what it is that they need. We've even, and it challenges what some people look and talk about success looking like. But I guess the best example I can say is I know what success looks like for me, and I know what success, you know what success looks like for you. So we had one survivor that her entire goal is that she just wanted to be able to her vehicle, which was a van, and that's where she felt safe, and she wanted to be able to get her van fixed up, get it insured, get her registration renewed, and that's going to be where she wanted to live for a bit. And she could travel, and she could go to campsites, and she could go to Walmart parking lots, but her goal was to get her van taken care of, so that's where she was going to live. And so it all just depends on the person, and we really work with survivors on their journey and don't dictate what needs to happen. We really work with them as far as what they want to do.
Okay, so lots of questions. One is, do you all work with or help in some way get the abusers into some sort of anger management or some sort of rehab or something to help those that may want to go back to the abuser? What do you see in terms of that situation? Are there programs out there to help the abusers? Are the victims that want to go back, are they successful when they go back? Do you know?
So I would, again, it depends on the person's journey. There are different types of battler intervention programs, and the acronym that we typically use is called BIP. But battler intervention programs, there's one that's in town, it's called Abuse No More, and it is a, I believe it's a 24-week program that abusers go through to understand the power and control and battering and what that means. And so a lot of times that's court-ordered within a domestic violence case, and it's court-ordered that a abuser perpetrator needs to attend that type of a programming. So Harbor House, we don't have that. We work 100% on the victim-survivor side. We do not work with perpetrators. And so what we would do if someone does want to return home and their abuser is there, then we do work with them as far as safety planning, recognizing the signs of escalation, knowing what the best thing is going to be able for them to do if there is a domestic violence incident that happens, talk to them about if there's an injunction for protection in place and what would happen. So that's what we do, is we arm the person who would be returning home to where the survivor, pardon me, where the perpetrator is, where the abuser is, with knowledge. And then knowing that they can always reach out to us and that all of our services are still available. So even though they might be leaving shelter, that they can always utilize our outreach services for peer support and for case management during that time when they're living with the abuser. Because it is a reality that not everybody leaves and they start their path of freedom and safety right away. There are people that go back, and sometimes they go back numerous times. Or we do have survivors that they end up, you know, starting out on their own again. They're doing incredibly well. They get into another, they start dating, and then that ends up being a domestic violence situation as well. And that sometimes happens as well. And so we work with people throughout, you know, sometimes they're for years, and sometimes we help some people just for a few months. It just really depends on the person and their life situation.
We know that there are children involved in a lot of these situations. What type of services do you provide for the children of these situations in terms of helping them understand, you know, that the parent that is the victim is going to be okay, that they're getting help, that it's not the child's fault, you know, all of those types of things. How do you help the child?
That's such a great question, and I love talking about our children's program. So we have we started a very robust children's program on our campus, and so we have a program that is called Trailblazers. It is a week of camp that we do whenever the kids who are living with us are off of school, and that is all trauma-informed, and it is intervention-based, and it is all about building resilience and helping kids who have experienced domestic violence in their home come up with different types of skills when it comes to their own way of dealing with conflict. And so that's one thing that we do. We launched it over the summer, and I'm super excited because we're going to be continuing to do that. We also have a program that's called Camp Hope. Camp Hope is for our kids who are living out in the community, who are living with their non-offending parent. So it might be dad, it might be mom, it might be that they've been removed and they're living in foster care right now. But there are also kids who have experienced domestic violence. And then we bring them in for a week-long camp called Camp Hope. But then we also continue to do check-ins with them throughout the year. And that program has been incredibly successful. The idea there is we're also talking to kids about trauma, helping them understand how you can deal with conflict in a different way, that you have a choice, that you don't, when you're feeling a certain way, or that you are seeing that someone is treating you poorly, that violence is one choice, but you have all these other choices that go along with it, like having a conversation, walking away, expressing your feelings. So we have conversations with the kids like that. And it has been really amazing just to watch the kids grow when we're working with the kids who are survivors themselves, that they're childhood survivors of domestic violence because they've seen it in their homes. And the other thing that we do on campus is that we just have activities where the kids can be kids. So we're starting movie nights with the kids. We have a great relationship pre-COVID with Nike, that Nike would come in and do scrimmages and games and whatnot with the kids. And we have different activities throughout the holidays that are available for the kids so that the kids can just be kids. The other piece that we started is that we have a child therapist. And so if we have a child that is experiencing symptoms of PTSD or extreme nightmares, then we're able to have that child and that parent, whoever it might be, if it's mom or if it's dad, work with the child therapist to get to the bottom of what's going on with some of the other issues happening with the child. And it's traced back to violence in the home. And so the only way we're going to break the cycle of domestic violence is if we really work with the youngest survivors, and that's what we're doing. We're really starting a bigger program, a more robust program to be able to do that. We've always at Harbor House had an on-site child care program, and it's a certified DCF child care program. But what we've done over the course of the past year is really add additional trauma-informed programming to that and some additional pieces for the older kids so that we can help them. And my personal goal with that is to make sure that we don't have a young woman or a young man who stayed with us as a child come back. Because I feel like when that happens, and it's happened, there was a young woman, she was 19 years old, and she stayed with us when she was 14 years old. And I want us to help break that cycle for that individual. And the way we can do that is by, when the kids are staying with us, really talk to them about domestic violence, talk to them about healthy relationships, and help them develop better and different types of skills.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm glad to hear that you're helping the kids, because one of the things I also fear with regards to the kids is that you may end up with a few of them that end up being perpetuators of the cycle, because
exactly.
They don't know
yeah.
any better. They don't know what a healthy relationship looks like. And so just trying to get them, you know, away from the mindset that what they went through was a normal situation is very, very important. We've got to take a quick break. We are here with Michelle Spurzel, who is the CEO of Harbor House, the domestic violence shelter here in Central Florida. This is G's Power Hour. I Never Had It So Good Entertainment. If you have questions when we come back, the number is 516-387-1944. That's the number for us if you have questions for Michelle. If you want to get in contact with Harbor House of Central Florida, that number, 07-886-2856. We will be giving it out again, and also the link to Harbor House is on the G's Power Hour Facebook page. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Please remember, if you have not done it already, after the show, go vote, or at least do your homework like I asked you to, so you can go vote. You need to be an informed voter. As we have mentioned, also, it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, and we want to make sure that you have the information you need. The 24-hour confidential crisis hotline for Harbor House of Central Florida is 407-886-2857. That is 407-886-2857. If you or someone you know is in need of some help out of a violent situation in their home. Also, if you need to talk to the CEO of Harbor House, Michelle Spurzel, we have her on the line. Our number here is 516-387-19, Michelle, right now. So, Michelle, I wanted to ask you, I know from in the past that this is usually time you have one of your big fundraisers. I think it's the Purple Door Luncheon. And I was wondering
yeah.
how you were handling fundraising in the time of COVID.
Great question. Like a lot of other area nonprofits, we canceled our fundraising events. And we have a few things that we've been doing during the month of October. So we normally have a Purple Door Luncheon. during October because it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And a few things we have done is that we've had a campaign going. So if someone wanted to go to our Facebook page or our website and make a donation, that's amazing for us to be able to make up the loss that we have from canceling our Purpose Luncheon. And we also have a conference that's tomorrow. So we have our first ever domestic violence conference that we're doing. And then we're doing a walk, run, bike for domestic violence. And we're going to be doing that on the last Sunday of this month. Well, that's not true. We're doing it on Sunday the 25th, I believe. Yep, Sunday the 25th. And we're doing that in conjunction with Help Now, which is the domestic violence center that's in Osceola County. We are part of the same judicial circuit, so we're doing that together to raise awareness for domestic violence and also to raise funds. The walk, run, bike is free, and we're just asking people to set up fundraising pages to help us raise money for both of our centers with that event. So that's what we've been doing, really just talking to people, raising awareness, and asking people to help spread the word that it's not only Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but to help support your local domestic violence center, because we definitely know that domestic violence is going to increase, and it's going to be a really, I believe, a difficult holiday season. And then also going into the new year, it's going to be difficult if we continue to see the issues in our economy, especially our local economy here in Central Florida.
This time of year anyway starts to be a really dicey time anyway with in terms of domestic violence. There's usually an increase, unfortunately. We like the Christmas holidays. We think everybody's full of love and joy around the Christmas holidays, but sometimes it gets a little tense, and there's some things that happen.
You're absolutely right. Around the different holidays, we do see an increase in domestic violence calls. We always see a large increase the Monday after a holiday, and believe it or not, 4th of July is actually our busiest holiday, and part of that would be all the barbecues and all everybody getting together with more friends and family, whereas for Thanksgiving and for Christmas, it's definitely more family. And we have a lot of people who come in after Christmas because they're really trying to keep it together for the kids, but they are calling our domestic violence hotline during the holidays, again, like you and I were talked about, to plan. And I like to say planning is hope. And so if someone's experiencing domestic violence, if they're really thinking about leaving during the holidays, when we do have people calling us saying, hey, what do I need to get together? What do I need to get together as far as financial paperwork for the kids, for the pets? What do I need to have in my car in case I need to flee? How do I get a hold of you? And we get a lot of phone calls like that during the holiday season as well. And then in January is really when we end up seeing a lot of people come and reach out and come into our emergency shelter.
Oh, man, that's so sad. That is really sad. But it's a good thing that you all are there to help people get through this devastating type of situation. So my other question right now is, a lot of times people think that it doesn't really help, but that getting an injunction or some sort of legal document or legal order to keep the abuser away is going to contribute to the situation resolving itself. And sometimes maybe it helps. Sometimes it seems like it aggravates the situation. Can you talk about the legal process and what you would like to see improved that would help your situation?
So you're absolutely right when you're talking about for injunctions for protection. They help some people, and then they also escalate the situation in another situation. And so what I'd like to see is I would like for everybody to realize what you just said, that an injunction for protection is a tool, but at the same point in time, it's not a tool that works for everybody, but it's what we have. And so when we're working with survivors and someone is really looking for starting the legal process, we talk to them about that, the fact that it is a piece of paper. The piece of paper is not bulletproof, but what the piece of paper will do is it will offer you some additional assistance, community, if you want to have it. And so what do I mean by that? The additional assistance would be if someone is filing for an injunction for protection and they get it and their abuser shows up at their home, then it's not just you trying to get your abuser out of the house, that you're going to be able to call law enforcement and law enforcement will be able to respond to help remove that person from your place of residence for your safety and for your kid's safety. And so that's one of the benefits when it comes to being able to utilize the legal system. We know it's not perfect. We also know that sometimes as a survivor, you get to a point in time where you need to have access to that the abuser for whatever reasons. It might be for the need for you to have a babysitter so that you can go to work. And so we also know that it's not perfect, but it is one of the tools that allows you to have more community support from law enforcement and the legal system in order to keep you safe. And so we really talk to survivors about weighing that out and really letting them know that it's their choice what it is that they want to do, and we're going to help them whatever that decision might be. And I would have to say, going back to your question, like what would I like to see for us to have different, I would have to say that we still struggle with the legal and law enforcement with how abusers who are reoccurring abusers with multiple victims, that's a place where we can improve. And, you know, working through that piece is going to be important as far as a community response. And I also think that piece is that, you know, there's some different projects that here in Central Florida we're working on with the Orange County Commission on Domestic Violence. And what we're doing is we're really doing a deep dive into domestic violence services that we have, gaps that exist, and how, as a community of community leaders, we want to be able to address those. And so the people on the commission are amazing. I feel so blessed that here in Central Florida, we have such amazing advocates, people I didn't even know were that passionate about domestic violence and seeing the change. I mean, we of course have the mayor on there. We have the sheriff of Orange County on there. We have the chief of police from Orlando Police Department. The clerk of court is on there. The state attorney is on there. So all of us are really, in Department of Corrections is also on this commission. So all of us are really taking the time to look at domestic violence from where we are part of this circle of services, and how can we better support survivors, and also how do we better support survivors by what do we do with perpetrators. And so that to me is like just such a wonderful opportunity for us to be able to address some of the whole what do we want to see different, because part of it is I feel that we don't know what we don't know until we do that deep dive that we're doing right now.
Let me get your opinion on a possible registry. You know, we have a registry for sexual predators. Should there be some sort of registry for those that commit domestic violence crimes?
No. And the reason I say that, and I'm so sharp with it, is the fact that survivors will be on there. That when we have a domestic violence incident and law enforcement responds, they have to make the best call that they can make at that time. And sometimes survivors are the ones who end up getting arrested. And that in itself would make it very difficult for a survivor of domestic violence who might be put on that list, one, to get off of it, two, to seek employment, to get her children back, or for him to get his children back. And so although I see what the greater goal could be for us being able to hold perpetrators accountable, we're going to end up hurting survivors with something like that.
Wow. Okay. I understand. Okay, well, we're going to take our final break. We are here with Michelle Sperzel, who is the CEO of Harbor House of Central Florida, the domestic violence shelter. The number for the 24-hour confidential crisis hotline is 407-886-2857. That's 407-886-2856. And the number, if you want to talk to Michelle after the break, is 516-387-1944. That is 516-387-1944.
This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
Swiffer Sweeper cleans so completely, you'll never go back to your old broom again.
Now it's on for Mary from a Mr. Broom.
Sweeper is redesigned to clean corners, and it traps and locks 50% more dirt, dust, and hair than a broom. So go all the way clean. New Swiffer. Clean better or your money back. Guaranteed.
Hi, I'm Tim Garrison, and I think I found a way to help you understand what is Chill Out Jazz.
Some of y'all may be confused because of the style we choose. We make jazz and R&B. We don't categorize. We just make what sound good. Is it jazz?
It is what it is.
Is it R&B?
Tune in every Wednesday night at 10 on KHAM Radio.
Are you?
Good afternoon and welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Please remember that this coming Friday on G's Power Hour is Space Friday, the fourth Friday of the month. And so if you have something that you want to talk about your faith, something you want to share, something you have questions about, whatever, you know, let's share it. Let's talk about it on Friday, Faith Friday on G's Power Hour. In the meantime, we are making you aware of domestic violence issues. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We are talking to Michelle Spurs on 56, that's 407-886-2856. And if you have questions for Michelle in the next, the number is 516-387-1944. So, Michelle, I know it's Domestic Violence Month every October, every year, and we call attention to it and everything and try to create awareness and stuff, but it's not a one-and-done issue. What would you like to see happen? What do you think should happen to keep this top of mind for everybody, that you know, to draw awareness about this and to help eradicate this issue so we don't have to have all of these big events for this issue?
My big thing that I talk about, and I normally talk about it during Purple Door or whenever we are having one of our fundraising events, is that it takes an entire community of advocates. And so you bringing me on here and we're talking about domestic violence, and we're really getting people engaged in the conversation and also the solutions and the issue is incredibly important, because the more we talk about domestic violence, there's two things that are going to come out of it. People know that it's not okay. They're going to know that there are people who will help them, because there's still so much shame associated with domestic violence and coming forward as someone who's experiencing it, especially for male victims of domestic violence. And so the more we talk about it, the more people are going to feel comfortable sharing that this is what is experienced, what they're experiencing, because it is incredibly hard to say that this person that I married, the person that I love, has hit me, has spit on me, has raped me, has stolen from me. And so we're asking people to, you know, call an anonymous hotline or just, you know, tell someone that this is happening. We all have to acknowledge that that's really, really hard. And it's because of the fact that this is a situation that people are going to say you're an adult and you got yourself into it. And so the more we talk about domestic violence and we say it's not your fault, regardless of what's happened, the more we're going to have survivors feel safe enough to reach out and tell their best friend and tell their employer or tell their pastor, to tell their rabbi to call a domestic violence advocate. We know that, and I know this because of just doing the work for the past 20 years, is that there are people who have experienced domestic violence, who have gotten out of the situation and who have never called a domestic violence resource center. They've never called a center. They've never called a crisis hotline, but they told somebody. And with that somebody, they were able to do research, they were able to understand what was going on, and they were able to get out of the situation. And so the more we educate people and we make it safe for survivors to talk about what's happening, the better society is going to end up being, because then we're going to get kids out of the situation, and the children are going to be able to build different types of relationships themselves. We already talked about, and you mentioned this, kids who see and experience in domestic violence, are they going to become a perpetrator or are they going to become a victim themselves? And the whole thing is that they can become nothing. They can just be kids and they can come into being adults that have incredibly healthy relationships. We shouldn't, and I don't want kids to be labeled because of that's the situation that they were brought up in. And the way we do that is by having conversations, not just education, but to have conversations where it's safe for someone to say, this is what's happening in my home. And part of that is making sure that more people are comfortable receiving that information from a survivor.
What situations have you seen that where the outcome has been the most desired outcome, and what contributed to that? And then on the other hand, what are the situations that you've seen that have gone terribly, terribly wrong, and why do you think they went that way?
I'm going to start with the terribly wrong. When we are seeing something like a familicide, so that's when there is an entire family that ends up losing their lives, and it's typically at the hand of an abuser. And we've had that numerous times over the past several years here in Central Florida. When we look to see if that individual has sought out services from our domestic violence center, from Harbor House, the answer is always no. And so that in itself is something we can do different. So part of the breaking the silence, talking to each other, checking in with each other, especially during COVID, is that we know that if a survivor or victim is working with a domestic violence situation, the likelihood of it turning into a homicide is significantly reduced. And so that's where we're seeing it. And anytime there's a domestic violence homicide, I ask that we look it up and we see if that's someone who we've been working with, and we haven't been. So that's one thing. When I talk about some of the successes and I talk a little bit about what a success looks like, I would have to say there's one person who pops into mind right now, and it's a survivor that I just met recently. And we've been working with her through, she worked with us in a lot of different ways. And so she's utilized a lot of Harbor House services. But what is amazing is that she reached out to us because her employer had a relationship with Harbor House. And so I'll just tell you a brief story. So this survivor, she had been living with her abuser for numerous years, two children with this abuser, and still boyfriend-girlfriend situation, but living together as a married couple. She was going to work every day, taking the kids to childcare, dropping the kids off at school and whatnot. But every day when she got home, there was horrific abuse. It was financial abuse, it was physical abuse, emotional abuse, and mental abuse. But every day she would wake up and she would go to work the next day. And so she's one of the individuals that ended up getting furloughed, and so her time was reduced, and her abuser ended up having his time reduced, so that escape of going to work didn't exist anymore. And so she was one of the individuals that was driving around in the middle of the night not knowing what to do. So she was driving around in the middle of the night, and she remembered something that her boss had said and he basically said, if you have nowhere to go, call and we will take care of you. And she was driving around one night and she called her boss and just said, I don't know what to do. If I go home, he's going to kill me. And so her boss was able to get her in touch with Harbor House. And then we were able to work with her on the crisis line. She came into our emergency shelter with absolutely nothing, just what she had in her car that day. And from there, she was able to get the kids engaged with virtual learning so that they didn't have to worry about going to school. We were able to get her different clothing by having her, with our partnership with law enforcement, go back to her home, pick up items that they needed in order for her to grab some of their clothes, some of their school books, some of the different belongings that you need, come back into the emergency shelter. And she's really worked with us on a lot of different programs. She's now moved in and she was living in our transitional housing program. She's going to be moving out on her own pretty soon. And throughout all of that, the person who made that happen was her. And it was also that courage that it takes to leave everything sometimes to be safe for you, and then also to make sure that your kids are safe. but she will even say that she did not know that this is what her life could be like, to be living without fear, because back in January, that's all that she knew. And here we are, you know, numerous months later, and she's in this very different place where she's able to, now she's back at work with the same employer, has a very has a wonderful relationship with her supervisor that now has her on a promotional career track, because they are now so mutually invested in each other. But it took a lot of courage for her to let people know what was happening. And so that's what I'm talking about. It's making sure that people feel comfortable saying what's going on, and people also have a different way to be able to respond. And so that's a success in so many different ways, not just for her and for her kids, but for our community and also for her employer.
Okay, so I've given out the confidential crisis hotline number, but can you give information in terms of how people who want to help can contact Harbor House and contact you or whoever they need to contact? Can you give out some information?
Yes. So if you are someone who's interested in volunteering, or if you're an employer and you want to learn more about domestic violence so that you can help your staff, you can always reach out to us as far as reaching out via Facebook or on our website. Those are two really great ways to reach out to us. Our website is harborhousefl.com. And then you can find us, it's the same thing, Harbor House FL on Facebook. And those are really great ways to reach out to us. With COVID right now, we don't have a lot of volunteer activities happening inside the emergency shelter, but we're always open to people who want to do food drives. As I mentioned, with our outreach program, we're seeing a lot of food insecurity. So we're asking people to put together after school snack bags for kids, and also we're always looking for cleaning supplies, things of that nature. Diapers are another one of our largest needs. And so if you want to, at your office setting or in your neighborhood for Christmas, if you don't want to get Christmas presents and you want to do Harbor House as a charity that you want to raise funds for or raise in-kind goods for, we would love to talk to you about that. And also just learn about domestic violence, and that's going to be a big thing. If you want to help learn about Harbor House, memorize our crisis hotline number. It's 407-886-2856. So if someone needs it, you can share that with them. And then also, you know, just learn where your comfort level is to be able to be an advocate and help other people.
Taking the time this morning, really, really appreciate it. You know, like I said, you know, it's a shame that we have to keep going over this every year, but, you know, hopefully at some point it'll really sink in, the importance of sharing what they know about domestic violence and doing whatever they can to eradicate it. So thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much.
And thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. God willing, talk with you tomorrow. Be well, be safe, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Please take care.